Wow, shall we give that lovely cast a round of applause? Brilliant. You saw a lot of expected things there, and I just want to give another round of applause for our star who stood there the whole time. That was brilliant. Well done. So in keeping with the whole sort of nativity theme, I'm going to do a bit of a census, which is really just a fancy way of saying I'm going to ask you some questions. So you put your hand up for yes, you keep it down for no, or if putting up your hand in church isn't something that you do, then that's also fine. So have you been on holiday? Anyone been on holiday? Ever? Yeah? Most of us have been on holiday. Okay. Have you ever stayed in a tent? Yeah? How about a caravan or a motorhome? Yeah. What about a cottage? Anyone stayed in a cottage? Okay. What about a log cabin? Okay. Converted barn, converted pigsty. B&B, Airbnb, travel lodge, Premier Inn. Okay. Hotel, fancy or otherwise. Fantastic. Anything I haven't mentioned? Any unusual accommodation styles? A hammock. You've slept in a hammock outdoors. Brilliant. Anything else? Pardon? A camper van? Yep. Anything else? A boat. Yeah, a barge, a boat. Ship, anyone? Not ship me, just a barge. Yeah. Overrated experience, a barge. A sofa? Yep. Good one. Okay, so I'm not getting any commission on this one, but if you want to know what to expect when you get somewhere, Premier Inn. The color, purple. Hardness, softness of pillow, you get to choose. Just enough tea and coffee to last you through the night, but there is more downstairs if you need it. Lovely, unlimited breakfast, always the same wherever you go. One of the brand's slogans is actually, true comfort is knowing what you're getting. True comfort is knowing what you're getting. And they actually say in a website, in these uncertain times, consistency, reliability, and certainty are what many of us are looking for. And Premier Inn does that. Now, we've got family living all over the UK, from Glasgow down to Land's End. And last year and the year before, we did quite a lot of traveling. And so we were very lucky. We managed to stay in some really nice places. And if we go for one or two nights Premier Inn, that's what Andy loves. That's my husband. He knows the bed is going to be comfortable. His wish always is to have a Premier Inn bed at home. But if we're going to stay more than two nights, we need an Airbnb, because we need two rooms, because one of us snores. And to make sure that we get a good night's sleep, we need two rooms. So we are very lucky in that we have been to a few Airbnbs. Now, you don't know what you're getting with an Airbnb. You could walk in and there could be this lovely welcome tray with bread and cream, and there's milk in the fridge, and there's tea and coffee, and there's cake. Or you could walk in like we did one day, there were not even loo rolls. I mean, okay, I can do that, the welcome tray, but loo rolls, I need loo rolls. So before we could do anything, even boil the kettle and use the little bit of milk that was in the fridge, we had to leave and go and do some shopping. Another time we went into an Airbnb, and the guy whose house it was had literally obviously just walked out and gone to stay in a little shed at the bottom of the garden. And as you do when you get to a new place, you're sort of looking around, what is there, what's in this drawer, you know, just in case you need a light or whatever, what's where. And there was this basket, and we opened it, and his dirty laundry was in the basket. That was really unexpected. Now, I think it's safe to say that Mary and Joseph did not have a Premier Inn experience. They did not get what they were expecting. I don't know what they were expecting by this stage. I think a lot of unexpected things had already happened. So maybe the fact that there was no room where they thought there was room, maybe that didn't surprise them too much. But I do wonder, it doesn't tell us in the Bible their response. It just says there was no room. They went to the stable and there was a manger. They don't tell us what their response was. And I can imagine Mary, you know, if you're traveling on a donkey, you probably don't have a lot of room for that baby bag with the nappies and the blankets and the baby grow. So when these people arrive with gifts, if I was Mary, I would have really hoped that there was a baby grow in there or a blanket or a pack of disposable nappies. But gold, frankincense and myrrh. Yes, gifts for a king, but there was a greater need there for something more immediate, but that's not what Mary got. So I think about gifts. Is anyone brave enough to shout out a gift that they may have received? Good, bad, or otherwise? A vacuum. A vacuum. Oh, yeah, love a vacuum cleaner. Yeah, what else? Pardon? A wheelbarrow. That's a good one. Excellent, excellent. Anything else?
Socks.
Socks, yeah. My best was a loo seat. Andy's not here. He's in South Africa. So I can be honest. So we did need it. There was a crack in our current loo seat. So I'm not saying I'm not grateful. But when I woke up on my birthday and went through to the toilet, there was a newly installed, even installed it, toilet seat with a bow. It was lovely. It was not expected. It was welcomed. And I'm a teacher, and I was going to teach at a school that day, and the head teacher knew it was my birthday, but I go in and out of school, so I'd hope that no one would notice. I don't like being the center of attention. And I got called in and made to stand on a chair in front of the whole school, and I was not in my comfort zone at all. And then she went and said to me, "So what did you get for your birthday?" And I just froze, and I couldn't think of any of the nice things that I'd got for my birthday. And all I said was a toilet seat. I don't think those children will ever forget that. But in this day and age, I don't know about you, but our family swaps lists for Christmas. We buy each other what we sort of want. And I guess that's good. It avoids waste and getting things that you don't need. But there's not many surprises when it comes to Christmas anymore. Oh, talking about gifts, would you just, actually, will you hold this for me, Ruben? Can you just hold this? I do have a gift for us. These things are to you. It's sweets. What do you think it is? Oh, it's just trying to get into it. Collect them for me. And I think Reuben might know what the ducks are about, don't you? You can pop those back in there. Thank you. Yeah, there's ducks. Do you want a duck? There you go. Yeah. Oh, yeah, maybe you want to supervise that. So in our family, ducks have become a little bit of a symbol for the unexpected. So we went away as a family. My son, who's now 30, so it was about a good 10, maybe more years ago. We went away to a forest holiday, and we had, very lucky, had a little hot tub. And floating in the hot tub to say that it had been checked was a little yellow duck. And we didn't expect that. It was nice. And it joined us in the hot tub, and we would, like, squirt each other with it. And so when we left, we found one in the shop, and we bought it just to remember our holiday. And then somebody felt a bit silly and so started to hide the duck in unexpected places. And, you know, you suddenly open a cupboard and there would be the duck. And it's, that tradition has now lasted for years and years and years. And we passed that tradition on, not necessarily with ducks, with pigs, with anything, just to hide in the house. And it just gives you that unexpected, like, little bit of joy, unless you find it in the toilet floating in there. You might see an unexpected theme flowing through the sermon today. But, yeah. The unexpected. Now, as Christians, I wonder how many of us expect a Premier Inn type of life as Christians. We expect things to happen in a certain way, but nowhere in the Bible does it say that's going to happen, and particularly not in the nativity scene. So much unexpected happens in the nativity scene. And the unexpected can be really tricky, particularly for people like me. I like order. I like to know what to expect. I have my lists. I'm a planner. I plan for every eventuality, plan A, plan B, plan C, plan D. So for me, the unexpected isn't a great thing. But we know as Christians, we need to expect the unexpected. Isaiah says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Sometimes the unexpected can be good. It can be a loose seat that you need. Other times it can be uncomfortable. It can be scary. It can be sad. It can be devastating. It can even be life-changing. And I love the book that many of us have been reading over the season. And on page 52, Timothy Keller writes, "Christianity says God has been in all the places you have been. He has been in the darkness that you're in now and more. And therefore, you can trust him. You can rely on him because he knows and has the power to comfort, to strengthen, and to bring you through." And so the good news for Christmas is Emmanuel, God with us. He's with us through the expected, through the unexpected, and we can call on him. He can be our shepherd. He can be our rod and our staff. And I'm, as a teacher, just love tangible things. So there will be a little duck for you at the back to take away. There will be chocolates for those of you who were disappointed that there were no chocolates. And there'll also be a little bubble wand, and it's got a little star on there. And take those home, and maybe that'll remind you as well, just of that guiding star, that light in the darkness that never goes out, no matter what happens in your life, no matter the unexpected. So there'll be a duck, there'll be some chocolates, and there will be a wand. Take the unexpected back into your home. Expect the unexpected. Hide the duck. Blow the bubbles. Eat the chocolate. But once the chocolate is gone and the bubbles have been spilt on your carpet and the duck has been lost somewhere never to be found again, just hold on to Emmanuel, God with us. Amen.